Let us pray. Dear, wonderful, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful Sabbath day. Thank you for bringing all these wonderful lives here today, Lord. We all came here to listen to you and the message that you have, Lord. Help us to be able to hear you, to listen to you, and to put into practice all that you have, the message that you have laid out for us today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated.
Happy Sabbath. Wonderful to see. There's a lot of distractions out here today, but they're all necessary so we can have a wonderful concert here later on. So it's an honor for me to be able to share the Word of God with you today. So welcome to Sac Central, all you visitors who are joining us, possibly for the first time. Thank you for being here. And church family, I love you, and I'm glad we can be here today. So thank you so much for the wonderful invitation. I take it to heart, and it's truly wonderful to be able to have this time with you. So the reason I'm sharing this story with you today is because it's a story that I need. And it's something that I need in my life. And if I need it in my life, I know a lot of you are probably a little bit better than I am, a little bit better people, a little bit better stewards of Christ. But if I need it, possibly somebody else needs it. I think sometimes we can get caught up in ourselves and our situations, and we really forget about what our job is here as human beings, as children of Christ. And what it is to be a church. So this message is for me. I used it for myself, but hopefully I can share this with you and it can be a benefit for all of us. Have you ever in your life seen something or read something or known how to do something in a certain way, and then later on in life you see something at a kind of a different aspect, or you see a new way of doing something that you've always done? There's a couple of videos that I've seen on Facebook and a couple other areas where there's this guy, and he says, "Are you telling me for 40 years I could have been doing this?" And I get a kick out of it, because a lot of them I'm like, okay, what is this? So I remember seeing one, right? We all have to have childproof everything. So if you have a prescription or you have some pills, you'd have to push that button on the side, push down, and then turn it. Well, he said, "You can take that cap off, flip it upside down, and then turn it on, so you don't have to always use the child protection, right? I don't have children that I really have to worry about getting into things these days, so it's a little bit easier." And then he shows the vitamins, right? Vitamins you always have to push, you know, and open it and pull it up. Well, he showed a video where you can just pop that top off, and then you can just easily turn it off and take it off. And so I looked at it, I was like, yeah, I never knew I could do that, right? There was another one where he said, like my wife and I, we have a Vitamix, a nice big blender, right? And he said, "You know, you can take the bottom off and you can put it on top of a mason jar and make a smoothie with just, you know, just in that one jar rather than getting it all done." I'm like, right. I never thought of that, right? He also showed another one where I think we've all done this. We have ladders, right? I've got a couple of 6-foot ladders that aren't too big, and then I've got a 10-foot ladder. And I always kind of lean it up on the side of the wall like this. But then he showed me in the video, you can put that straight up against the wall and it will stay. And I was like, wow, I never knew I could do that. So of course, what did I do? I went out to the garage myself and took it out and put my ladder up. And I was like, huh, it stayed. You can even pull it out a little bit and it goes right back in. And there's another one, right, with a hammer. You can, the hammer, you know, you've got the fork on the other end. Well, you can actually put a nail on the hammer, flip it over, hit it in rather than having to hold it with your hand. So there's new ways of doing things, right? And sometimes in our lives, we see things a certain way and we do things a certain way, but there are other ways that we can do things. So today I would like to share a very well-known story that is in the Bible. And maybe we'll take a look at it, possibly from a little bit different point of view. It's not a weird point of view. It's nothing that's different. But maybe we don't catch certain things that are in there. And that is the story about the Good Samaritan. So we'll get into that. Maybe we can take a look at this story from a little bit different angle. The Desire of Ages, page 497, says this. In the story of the Good Samaritan, Christ illustrates the nature of true religion. It's a very profound statement right there, right? That Christ in this Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan, shows and illustrates the nature of true religion. It says, he shows that it consists not in systems, creeds, or rites, but in the performance of loving deeds in bringing the greatest good to others in genuine goodness. So to me, this is what we need, right? I think everybody here, who wants to understand a little bit more about the nature of religion? The religion is a very debated topic, right? But if we look at this story, and we believe in Christ, and we look at this Good Samaritan story, it makes it very simple on what true religion is. So we'll get into that. And I think this is something that we lack. We lack this true religion. I think sometimes we can get caught up in some other things when religion is very simple. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's very simple. So this is a very profound statement, and we will be going over what the nature of true religion is. A couple pages down in the Desire of Ages, it says this. It says, this was no imaginary scene, but an actual occurrence, which was known to be exactly as presented. The priest, the Levite, who passed on the other side were in the company that listened to Christ's words. Normally, I would already tell you guys the story, and we'd talk about the story before reading something about Desire of Ages, but I think a lot of us are pretty familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan. So that's why I did. We'll still read that, and we'll still go over it. But this is what an actual scene. This took place. This wasn't just a parable or something that didn't occur, just a story that Jesus came up with to prove a point. This actually happened. So it actually happened to the priest and to the Levite. So we'll be going over them. Also, in Desire of Ages, a little bit more in that chapter on the Good Samaritan, in page 503, it says this. In the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus gave a picture of himself and his mission. Man had been deceived, bruised, robbed, and ruined by Satan and left to perish. But the Savior had compassion on our helpless condition. He left his glory to come to our rescue. He found us ready to die, and he undertook our case. He healed our wounds and covered us with his robe of righteousness. He opened to us a refuge of safety and made complete provision for us at his own charge. Right, we all know what Christ did, and we can see that. We see that in this story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus is the Good Samaritan. He is the one that finds this man that is beaten up and half dead and bruised and beaten by Satan. It says ruined by Satan, right? So Jesus is the one who has this encounter with this man when a priest and a Levite doesn't. And Jesus has this man. And then Jesus, in the story, he hands him off to somebody else. So that's what we're going to be going over. We'll now open. So if you want to open up your Bibles, we'll be reading Luke chapter 10 and the story of the Good Samaritan, which are verses 30 through 35. So Luke 10, 30 through 35. And just a little bit of a backstory, before that we talk about the Good Samaritan, there was a lawyer that stood up and he asked Jesus a very important question. And the question that he asked Jesus was, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And they have a little bit of back and forth. Jesus has a couple of other words. But then afterwards, to complete this, he shares this story. And remember, this story was a real story. So does anybody else have that question? Have you ever asked that question? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Anybody here have asked that question? Well, Jesus in this story gives us the answer, what we shall do. So let's go ahead and read it. We'll open up the Word of God to Luke 10, starting with verse 30. It says this. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place and came and looked and passed by the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Although some people even stop there and finish the story off with the Good Samaritan there. But it continues in verse 34. It says this, so he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and sent him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he departed. He took 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So that's the story of the Good Samaritan right there. And a lot of us, we talk about these. So, right, we have this man that's going down, and this is a dangerous road we're talking about. There are thieves there. There are people waiting and walking. If you actually go from this place from Jerusalem to Jericho, you can actually even look up with some YouTube videos on people that will make that walk, and it's pretty dangerous. It's kind of a small road, and you have some areas where it kind of falls off all the way down into where the water's at. Thieves are waiting. There's not many places to escape. So this is a very dangerous area, and this man gets beaten up. And then a priest, somebody who you think that a priest, if he came across a man that was wounded and beaten and half dead, walking past, you'd think he would do something. But the priest walked around on the other side. And then you have the all high and mighty Levite, right? That it was is supposed to almost do that as well. And when the Levite comes and sees this man, he walks on the other side. And then you have this man, a different man from Samaria walking by who probably shouldn't help this man. And he is the one that looks at this man and has compassion. He helps him out. He bandages him up. He helps him. He puts him on his animal and takes him all the way to the inn. He sleeps with him. He makes sure that he's good. He cares for him. The next day, the man wakes up. The Good Samaritan has to go on his way. But then he goes ahead and he pays. He goes to the innkeeper and says, here, I need you to take care of this guy. I've done a lot of the work. He just needs to heal up. Here's some money. I'll repay you if you spend any more when I come back. So that's a quick recap, right? And a lot of people, when we get into this story, we start talking about the good deeds, and we start talking about the priest, and or the pastor who walked by the side. I know our pastors wouldn't have walked by the side. Pastor Mike would have helped that man, right? And I know many of you would, right? And I'd hopefully like to say that I would. So a lot of people, we start talking about this good deed, but I want to take a look at it in a little bit different light. I don't want to focus on too much of the Good Samaritan, even though it is Jesus, we're talking about the Good Samaritan. I don't want to focus on the Levite or the priest. I want to focus today on the innkeeper. Because who is the innkeeper, right, to this story? And we all know Jesus is the Good Samaritan, but today we want to look, because God, in Jesus, in this story, he gave instructions to one person. And that one person was the innkeeper. And if the Good Samaritan is Jesus, and he took in a man, and he was helping him, and he brought him, and then gave instructions to the innkeeper, did Jesus give any unwise instructions? No, all of his instructions were wise. So what is important about the words and the message that the Good Samaritan gave to the innkeeper? And if we read it, it says that he says, first of all, to take care of him. Care for this man. And whatever you spend extra, pretty much telling him, you're probably going to have to spend a little bit extra on this guy. I don't have all the money. Here's 2 denarii. But you're going to have to spend some extra. If you spend more, and the third thing is I will come back and repay you for what you've done for this man when I come back. So I'd like to take a quick look at these 3 points here, right? The first one is to take care of this man. That was the instruction that Jesus gave to this innkeeper, right? And the Good Samaritan, he does all this work ahead of time, and he gives them almost to a complete stranger, but he knows that this man is going to go ahead and care for him. And this man, the innkeeper, right, he is a man of business, right? He has a place where people can go and they can stay, whether they're traveling, whether they don't have a house, well, I mean, whatever it is, right? Hotel managers, right? You're there, you're managing a resort or a hotel. You've got people, different people coming in. So this man has his life. He's got his family. He's got his business. He's got everything together in his life. And then all of a sudden, he has this bloody, beaten, half-dead man dropped off on his doorstep. And then he is asked to care for this man. So this man had to now care for this individual. But before this man had to care for this individual, so I'm guessing that there was some interaction, right, between the Good Samaritan and the innkeeper. Good Samaritan says, hey, come here. This is what I did. I found him like this way. I didn't do this. You know, I don't know what happened. I took care of him. I washed him up. You know, he's healing up. I gave him some food. He's resting. I brought him here. You're going to just have to do a couple of light things here. You're going to have to take care of him. You know, can you change out the bandages, you know, here and there as this man heals up? But we see here that the Good Samaritan in Christ, he does a lot of work before he drops somebody off on the doorstep of this innkeeper. He does all the physician work, right? All that really important detailed work, Christ kind of took care of. And then he makes sure that he hands it off in good condition. And this is kind of what Christ does to us as well, right? Because Christ is the one who takes it. He's the one that first takes in people before he drops them off at our doorstep. He makes sure that we can handle it, and he cares for them, right? And we see that in different stories in the Bible, Jesus makes sure that he sends people that he heals or has interactions with on the right path, right? He heals a leper, and then he lets the leper go, right? Because his sins were forgiven, he was cleansed, he didn't really need any more care, he's going to kind of go on your way. There was another time where Jesus healed a paralytic. And he said, hey, get your bed, take your bed up, and walk, go, you're good. There was another time when Jesus found himself with 5,000 hungry people. And he couldn't just leave the people like that, right? So he took the people in, he cared for them, he provided them a meal, and he provided them the spiritual message as well, and had them just stay there and eat with him. He had a demon-possessed man who he healed, and then he told him to go and be with his friends, right? Go and be with the friends that you haven't been with for a long time. But Jesus treated all of these people before. There's another leper that Jesus heals, and he sends him to go see the priest, to show himself to the priest. So Jesus is the one who always takes in these people, and then he gives them to us. Then he directs them where he needs to go. And so we're talking about people being dropped off at our doorstep, right? Because have you ever noticed that when you finally have everything together in your life, when you're finally good with money and the job's going good and the kids are going good, that Jesus tends to just drop somebody off in your life that you need to care about, that you need to care for? It's always when we've got everything together, right? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't have anything together, and God's just like, you know what? Here's this one. You need to take care of this one as well. And like this story, not all the people that God drops off on our doorsteps or in our lives are half beaten and almost are beaten and half dead, right? Some of them are just normal people that they need a little bit of help. But we can go with the assurance that Christ first took in these people and cared for them as well. And the issue is, you know, can God trust us enough to drop people off in our lives? Can he trust us to care for these people? It's not, can we trust God? God's not going to drop anything off on our doorstep that we can't handle. It's, can he trust us to do this? Can he trust us to be able to take care of the people that he has found out there in the world? So the second point that the Good Samaritan leaves with this man is that whatever you spend extra, I'll repay you. So I'm thinking, if I'm the innkeeper, right, and when this man says, and whatever extra you spend, they go, what? Now I have to not only spend my time, but now I have to spend my money on somebody? How much do I have to spend? How much is this help going to cost me? Right? Because this man had a life of his own, right? He's running a business. He's getting his taxes together. He's paying his employees. He's got a family. He's got so many other things to do and so many other bills. And then this good Samaritan says, not only just care for this guy, but you're going to have to probably spend some extra money on this man. I'm going to give you a little bit up front, but then it's on you for all the costs of this man. And one thing that's very interesting is, like we said, this man has a lot going on, right? If you're a business owner, and especially a business owner that has to work with so many different people, right? The cleaning people, you've got the cleaning people, you've got your employees, you've got all the different people that are staying there. And this man is a very busy man. He's got a lot going on. And this individual comes and says, you need to take care of this man. What the innkeeper had to do was he had to stop what he was doing, and he had to focus on an individual, on a single person. He was focused on a lot of different people. But God calls him, the Good Samaritan called him to slow down and to focus on a single individual person and to take care of him. Take care of him. And God and Jesus, the Good Samaritan, at this time, dropped this man off at his place of work. He can drop it off to you in the parking lot. He can drop a person off to you in your house. He will drop a person off to you where he needs to, because we're surrounded by individual people that need help, that need God. And Jesus is out, and the Holy Spirit is out there searching for people who need help and to want to hear about God. So we'll get these people dropped off at any place. And the innkeeper in the end says, don't worry. He says, yes, you are going to have to spend that money, but at the end, I am going to pay you back. So like any businessman, that man right away took out his little notebook and put on the top the title, Half-Beaten Man. All right? And then every time he had to get a new blanket, $10, new blanket. Right? New bandages, $5. Maybe he couldn't do the help, so he had to pay for a little bit of help. Right? So now this man is taking notes about all the money extra that he is spending on this individual, because he's going to get paid back. He's a businessman, right? He wants to be paid back for the work that he's done. So then he starts to take on that list, and the list grows larger and larger. So the innkeeper was caring for this man for a week, 2 weeks, a month. The list is getting larger and larger, right? And then there probably comes a time where he probably got tired of writing on that notebook. He probably got tired of waiting for this Good Samaritan to come back. And probably this man just became part of his life, this innkeeper. He just kept on caring for this man. We don't know the end. When the Good Samaritan came back and paid for everything, right? And you know the interesting thing about God is he'll drop things off on you. And sometimes it's a one moment initial conversation, prayer with somebody, give somebody some money, and they are good, and we take it from there. So sometimes this help that needs done with these people that get dropped off are immediate needs, and we do it real quick, and then we move on. And sometimes God drops people off on our doorsteps, and it takes a while. These people are with us in our lives for a while, and we have to care for these people for a while. And God wants us to get to the point where we stop making notes. We stop taking notes on what we have done for others. And we just do it because that's what we should do. That's what He has called for us to do. right? He wants us to stop keeping records. And God, he doesn't necessarily put a good timeline when he drops people off on our doorsteps. And I think I know there are many of you who have helped people along the line in their lives. You have invited people into their house. You have had Bible studies. You have helped people, whether it's family members or individual people. And sometimes when God drops somebody off on our life, we don't really want it. And we don't know these people. And it becomes a little frustrating for us that God has dropped it off on us. So at first, sometimes we don't want to care for these people, but we do it anyways. But then what the interesting thing that happens after a while is we grow to care and love the people that we are caring for. Has that ever happened to you where you drop somebody off at your doorstep and it's like, here you go. They're for you to take care of. And you're like, oh, really? But then you build a good relationship. I remember when God dropped off a guy in my life called Margarito. Margarito, if you're watching online or you ever see this message, I love you. I did not want God to drop off Margarito on my doorstep. I prayed that God dropped him off that could remove him and send him to somebody else. Margarito was homeless. Margarito had drug issues. Margarito was a handful. It was horrible dealing with Margarito at first. But now I love Margarito. He is such a kind individual. He is wonderful. And now I know, I see his posts on Facebook. He moved to Louisiana. He is a Christian today and serves the Lord and loves the Lord. But I hated Margarito at first. And now he's wonderful. I love him so much. And I know he loves me. Not because there's anything good in me, but we just built that relationship. So sometimes when God drops something off on your doorstep and you go, oh, I don't really want to do this, Lord, think about what God can do in that relationship. How God can make you grow when you're helping somebody else. And watching other people grow is amazing as well. Right? So it can cost us a little bit. It can cost us money. It can cost us time when we start to take care of other people. And God wants us to get to the point where we can't even count the ways that we have helped and cared for other people that he has dropped off on our doorstep. He wants us to not even be able to count that. He doesn't want us to pay attention to it because we can't even count the ways how he has helped us in our lives. Right? And I know that the Good Samaritan owes a lot of people money on my behalf. He owes a lot of people on my behalf because multiple times the Good Samaritan, Christ, picked me up, literally, I think I was a little bit more than half dead most of the time when he picked me up. And then he dropped me off in other people's lives. And they had to care for me. And I hope these people that cared for me get repaid, and they get repaid double. And you know what? Some of the people are you that are here because God picked me up and dropped me off here. So never think we have done too much for God. Never think we have, because if we look at what he's done for us, it's incredible. And he has done a lot of things for us. So we don't know exactly what time it was when the Good Samaritan returned for this man to pay his debt. But we do know that when God drops something off on our doorstep, he wants us to solve or to accept the problems first, right? It starts off with accepting the problems that he drops off. Only when we are willing to solve the problems that God drops off on our doorstep will he come back. Right? It says at the end, he is going to come back. And only when we do that will he come back. We must continue to help God with the problems that he drops off. And God doesn't ask our permission. When we accept being part of his church, when we accept being part of this group, God doesn't need our permission to drop off people on our doorstep. He doesn't say, Brett, I've got five people. I've got five tasks for you. Can you please pick two? He picks it out. We know the Good Samaritan, he did everything, and he picked out this special inn to drop off this man. And this innkeeper, this businessman, took this man in and did this work. So he doesn't ask us for our permission. He just does it, and he expects us to pick up the work that he has started, right? In Desire of Ages, page 504, it says this, Christ has linked his interest with that of humanity, and he asks us to become one with him for the saving of humanity. Just think about that. The God of all creation, our God, has become one with us and wants to work with us to save humanity. He doesn't want to do it on his own. He wants to do it with us. So isn't it so great to be able to work alongside God? It's amazing. I mean, it is to me. I mean, I love my work and what I do. I like my job because of the people that I work with. And my job as a Christian as well, I kind of like my boss. He's pretty good. He's pretty good to me. So the final thing that the Good Samaritan says to this man, to this innkeeper, he says, when I come back, I will repay you, right? And he gives this assurance to the man, to this innkeeper, that he's going to come back. He doesn't say when he's coming back, but he says it when he says, when I come back, there was no question whether he would come back or not. And today, in our lives, we are waiting for the Good Samaritan to come back, aren't we? Do any of us have any doubt that he's coming back? No. And he wants to come back, and he wants to repay us for all that we have done working alongside him. Even though we don't even need it. We don't necessarily want to be repaid. He wants to repay us for everything that we've done. So I'm not sure if you've picked up on this, but the innkeeper is the church. Right? Think about that. The innkeeper is the church. The innkeeper is the place where God finds people that need help. He helps them, and he comes and he drops them off at the inn. He drops them off at our church, and he asks us to care for them, to support them, until he comes back. It's very clear. And it says that this, in the very beginning, we mentioned it in Desire of Ages, it says this is the nature of true religion. And that is for focusing in on people and helping people. Working together with God to be able to save humanity. To be able to relift those who are down on the ground and have fallen and who are half beaten. And it says in the Desire of Ages that are ruined by Satan, right? He wants to work with us. And I think sometimes as a church, or maybe us even as individuals, we can lose the focus that we have, and the focus is on people. It's on one person. God calls us to focus in on individual people that he has dropped off. Does anybody here feel that you have been dropped off here by God, by the Good Samaritan? Amen. Right? And I think sometimes we can get caught up in these programs and get caught up in different things, and we look at ourselves and we kind of forget sometimes our purpose and what we're doing here as a church. Our focus should be on people. Right? And even more in the last days, our focus needs to be on people, on individuals, on these people that are hurting. Right? And God will put people and will drop people off here on our church, at our church doorsteps, that aren't dressed like us, that don't talk like us, that don't look like us. I didn't look like this when I came into the church. I hated wearing collared shirts. I hated wearing a tie or a suit. people change, right? I still don't like it as much, right? We'd all rather be in our sweats. But when we're here, you know, so God is going to drop people off from all over the place. And we can rest assured that he has vetted them. He has talked with them. He has been in their lives. And then he brings them in here and drops them off for us. And says, now all you have to do is take care of them. I've done the big work. And the work that we have is so simple. Being a Christian at times is a little inconvenient for us when we try and live our lives in this world, because we do have to stop and focus on individual people at times. It can be a little inconvenient, can it? You're a little late to work, and you find somebody that just needs some help. You're getting up and you're ready to go to church, and then you have to go and attend to somebody else. It can be a little inconvenient. But whatever we do here, all the work that we do, the Good Samaritan wants to repay us for all that work when he comes back. We have to be willing to let God invade our lives. We have to be willing to be inconvenienced. And it's good. Every time God has dropped off somebody in my life, it's good because I've focused way too much on myself. And I think we all do that. And when we focus in on ourselves, there's nothing good comes that focusing on ourselves. But when we focus on others, a lot of good can come of that. So I'm guessing the innkeeper is going to repay, or the Good Samaritan is going to repay this man, this congregation, for all that they have done. And like I said earlier, this message is very important to me and is dear to my heart, because I was that person that was half dead and I came here. And so many of you helped me. So many of you changed my bandages. So many of you bathed me and helped me get through my life. And I want to thank all of you. You guys, you know who you are. You guys have been so good to me. And there are so many other people out there that I wish felt how I feel being a part of this church. And I don't want us to reject anybody that comes in here. And this is not the only story of a famous inn that we find in the Bible, right? There was no inn. The Good Samaritan did not say, I dropped him off at the Holiday Inn, right? He doesn't mention the inn. And then there's another inn that is not mentioned by name in the Bible, but it's very important. And I wanted us to take a look at that, because we are in the time of Christmas. So we kind of do go over the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, what he went through. And our scripture reading read almost the whole thing of it. But I wanted to focus on Luke 2:7. And it says this: she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them at the inn. So we all know the story, right? With Jesus, we have Joseph, and we have Mary. We have poor people that are traveling, that are tired, that need a place to stay. And there is a woman who is about to give birth. And she goes and she comes to this inn, and there's no room at the inn, which is very sad. There's no room at the inn. If the innkeeper and the inn in the story of the Good Samaritan represent the church, if I look at this right here and read that there's no room at the inn, what if people had come here and they get the feeling that there's no room for them here at our inn, at our church? Right? So there's two ways of taking a look at it by reading this verse, right? Is there any room for people outside to come in here? Is there room at the inn? And also, at that inn, where they were trying to go is where Christ was going to be born. Is there any room for Christ in our church? Just things we need to think about, right? So I wanted to leave you with this one question. As Sacramento Central Church, is there any room at the inn? Amen. I'll close with that. You guys can come up with the answer on that one all on your own. Thank you so much for the time to be able to come out here and share the word of God with you. Now we'll close with a song here.
Please stand as we sing our closing hymn, number 352, This Is My Will.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful inn that we have here at Sacramento Central Church, Lord. I pray that there is room here at the inn. Lord, help us to be able to inconvenience ourselves for your will, for your work, Lord. Help us all to be able to grow. Help us to be able to look at others and help those who you have dropped off on our doorstep. Lord, maybe we don't have one right now in our life, but we will, Lord, and we ask you to drop off these people that you find in the world that need your help, that need your love. Drop them off wherever you need to in our lives, Lord. I pray that as a church, we can really focus on others and focus on sharing you and taking care. And we know that one day we will be repaid. Not that we want repayment, Lord, but we want to be with you. We want to be in your love and in your presence. Lord, continue to guide us in this Sabbath day and in our lives until you come back. Hopefully, Lord, we ask that it is one day very soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.